The following is a paid program sponsored by Eastside Church of Christ.
Teach me to know your ways. Teach me to know your healing grace. Teach me to know the mighty one. Teach me to know.
Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in this morning to The Way That Leads to Life. I'm Steve Klein. Really good to have you listening in this morning to the program. We have a beautiful day in the Tennessee Valley. Sun's up and looks like it's weatherman says it's supposed to warm up to about 60 degrees or more today. That'll be really nice. But it's a beautiful day that the Lord has given us, and we encourage you to come out and worship God. Be with us at the Eastside Church of Christ. We meet at 9 o'clock this morning for our Bible study and worship assembly, then again at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Our meeting place is at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama, just off Highway 31, not far from the CVS. So if you're in the Athens area this morning around 9 o'clock, please come in and study the Bible with us, get to know us, worship our God, and glorify Him, thank Him for all that He's doing for us. And this beautiful day that He's given us is just one of so many, many things that He's blessing us with this day. Well, you know, we are living in this world, and we know that life is going to come to an end one day. We don't like to think about that, but it's inevitable. Somebody said that the two inevitable things are death and taxes. And of course, if the Lord comes again, we won't have to die, but we're going to leave this earth one way or the other. The Bible says in the 90th Psalm, we finish our years with a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So you could live to be 70 or 80 years, or maybe even somewhat longer than that. But the reality is that life is going to come to an end for all of us. We're going to leave this earthly existence and go on to what lies beyond. And, you know, there are two questions I'd like us to consider this morning as we contemplate the reality of our mortality. First question is, what are we going to leave behind? And the second question is what lies ahead? And what have we sent ahead? So let's start with the first question. You know, what are we going to leave behind? Well, we are going to leave something behind, because we're leaving this place, and there will be possessions that we have, perhaps. There will be people, experiences that we've had, accomplishments that we've made, that we may leave behind. But there's no way of getting out of that ultimate leaving of this earthly life. We're all going to die. In Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 8, the wise man says that no one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit. No one has power in the day of death. There is no release from that war. Wickedness will not deliver those who are given to it. So it doesn't matter what you may try, there's no getting out of death. It's going to occur to all of us. None of us has the power to retain the spirit. I know what we do. You know, we go out and exercise, and we get a Peloton or a gym membership or whatever it might be, and we try to keep our bodies in shape, and we try to eat right, and we take our vitamins and all this sort of thing. And at the best, that's only postponing the inevitable. It doesn't matter what you do in the way of trying to stay healthy and all of that sort of thing. Death is inevitable for all of us, and we have to deal with that reality. Doesn't matter, you know, maybe you have some wicked scheme, like some TV villain, you know, to live forever or something like that. Lord Voldemort or whoever, whatever it might be, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Not on this earth. And the thing is, we need to admit that to ourselves. As you go through the first few chapters of the Bible in the book of Genesis, there are a lot of pretty well-known people whose lives are mentioned and discussed, and some less known. Adam, the first one created, It says about him in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 5 that all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. Wow, that's a long life, isn't it? 930 years. Can you even imagine? But the next line is, and he died. And then his son, Seth, in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 8, all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. In Genesis 5 and verse 11, all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. In 5 and 14 of Genesis, so all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. In Genesis 5:17, all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. Genesis 5 and verse 20, all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Did you notice that everyone that I've named so far lived to be over 900 years old, except for Mahalalel. And it says he died when he was 895. I wonder if the people who were around him at that time, you know, when he died said, oh, so young, here he is. He only lived 895 years. But it doesn't matter, right? The reality is that here are these people that lived all of these years, the longest man who ever lived, Genesis 5:27, according to the Bible, the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. The days of Lamech were 777 years and he died. And all the days of Noah were 950 years and he died. All these people lived a long, long time, longer than any of us will, I'm sure, on this earth. But death came to all of them. So it doesn't matter how long we live, that's going to be our fate. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. So we have an appointment. God has appointed this for all of us, this appointment to make. But judgment is going to come after that. There is a life beyond this life. There is an existence beyond this life. And God will judge us. We may talk about that some more toward the end of the lesson. No one can control that. And no one can stop it. Not really. We talk about saving lives, and people are concerned right now about this coronavirus in China. A number of people have died from that already, and apparently more will die from it. It's a very dangerous virus, and so that gets a lot of our attention. But it doesn't matter how long we live. Ultimately, no life is really saved on this earth. Because everyone ultimately leaves this earth. So the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 6 and verse 6 that even if we live 1,000 years twice, but do not see goodness, you know, do not all go to one place is the question. We all go to the grave. So we might live, he says, if we live 1,000 years twice. In other words, if you live 2,000 years, great long life, and maybe you experience a lot, and you do a lot, and you accomplish a lot, and you have a lot of wonderful relationships, and yet at the end of it, this life is coming to an end. And so the Bible deals with that reality over and over again, and God, through the Bible, through the Scriptures, is really telling us that we need to deal with that reality too. If a person never faces his own mortality, he never faces what life is all about. No one can control not only whether or not he's going to die, because he is, but no one's going to be able to control what will happen on earth after he leaves. But we will leave much behind, as I mentioned earlier. It's like to make a wake of waves behind us as if we were a boat traveling in the water. The wake will just, you know, create waves for a long period of time and go great distances. And our lives may, in fact, influence a lot of things that happen after we're gone. We're going to leave something behind. In Ecclesiastes 6 and verse 12, though, the wise man there says, who knows what is good for man in life all the days of his vain life, which he passes like a shadow? Who can tell a man what will happen after him under the sun? So we live our lives. We maybe try our best, but who knows what's going to come after us? What are we going to leave behind? Well, we're going to leave our wealth behind, whatever wealth we have. Good people live good lives and strive to work hard, earn and pay their way, try to help others as well, try to leave something for their children. The Bible says all of that's good to do. Proverbs 13 and verse 22, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. So, you know, a good person is going to try to provide for his family, for his children, for his grandchildren, so that they'll have something when he's gone. That's wisdom and that's love. Person who's just involved in himself and doesn't care about others, really, the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. The implication is that somebody who doesn't do good, righteous people are going to wind up with his things eventually. There's a bumper sticker, maybe you've seen it. It says, I'm spending my grandchildren's inheritance. That's funny, but it's not really a good thing to do. I think as we get older and get toward retirement age, it's good to be able to enjoy things and take it easy a little bit, perhaps, especially if we've worked hard. But it's important also to care about our children and grandchildren that come after us. There's a program that follows this program this morning where it's all about, you know, saving for retirement and securing your retirement and all that sort of thing. I've not listened to it very carefully, heard a bit of it a couple of times, but sounds interesting. But the thing is, even if you, you know, save for retirement and live well in retirement and have a lot to leave your children, you don't know how that's going to turn out after you're gone. And even if you store up very well in this life and smart with your savings and your investments and all that sort of thing, it can be lost. It can be lost in a moment. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, the wise man there says in verse 13 that there is a severe evil which I've seen under the sun, riches kept for their owner to his hurt. So, you know, sometimes people pile up riches and it's really not good for them. And it doesn't wind up giving them a better life. Sometimes it actually hurts them because then people are after them and covet their money. And it's hard to know when people have genuine relationships. There's just all sorts of things that you pile up riches for yourself. It may not work out well for you. But the wise man goes on to say, but those riches perish through misfortune. So you pile up all these riches and then some bad investment deal or, you know, the market crashes or whatever it is. And then those riches perish. And then it says, well, he begats a son, but there's nothing in his hand. So here's a person who's very wealthy and then he loses it all. And then he has a child and the child doesn't have anything to show for all the work that his father has done because his father lost his fortune. And so the text says, as he came from his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came. And he shall take nothing from his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. The wise man says, this is also a severe evil. Just exactly as he came, he shall go. And what profit has he who has labored for the wind? So the point he's really making there is what we all know, that we can work and work and work and save and save and save and have a big pile of money at the end of our lives. And we may lose it. We may not have anybody to leave it to. If we do have somebody to leave it to, it may be gone before they get it. And for one thing's for sure, we cannot take it with us when we go. And you've heard that, I'm sure, many, many times. You've never seen a hearse followed by a U-Haul. You know, it's just not something that you see. People cannot take it with them. We cannot take it with us. And we may actually make it to the end of our lives and have a nice stock portfolio and bank account to leave to our children with other possessions and property and whatnot. And that's great. But even so, it can be misused or squandered by those that you leave it to. And the wise man deals with that in Ecclesiastes. Think about Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 18 with me. He says, I hated all my labor in which I had toiled under the sun because I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And so here he's talking about you work and you work and you work and you save and you try to be, you know, careful with your money and all of that sort of thing. And you're very conscientious. So you have something and yet you have to leave it to somebody else. And then the question is, the next verse, who knows whether he will be wise or a fool? Yeah, good question. You don't know how your children or whoever you leave your inheritance to may handle that. Yet, the wise man goes on to say, he will rule over all my labor in which I toiled, in which I have shown myself wise under the sun. In our society, we've seen a lot of people whose parents have worked very, very hard to amass sometimes great fortunes, and then the parent passes away and they leave that fortune to their children. Their children don't know what to do with it. They squander it, or they live lives of just self-indulgence, and it's just not good for anybody involved. You know, I think about Conrad Hilton, who is the very famous and successful hotel entrepreneur. Hilton Hotels, obviously, and he amasses this fortune, leaves it to his children and grandchildren, and you have somebody like Paris Hilton who's, you know, just living a pretty self-absorbed life with all of that. That's not picking on anybody this morning, but I'm just saying that's one example of, you know, thousands probably that we could name where that's the way it's gone. And that's what the wise man in Ecclesiastes is describing. Well, what's the point of it as far as our lesson is concerned? Well, the point is you can live a very successful life from a worldly standpoint. You can amass a great fortune, but ultimately you're going to leave that behind. And that may turn out well, and it may not. So leaving wealth behind can be a good thing if it falls into the hands of the right people and you've trained your children and your grandchildren well. It can be great, but it may not be great. You don't know, and you don't really have any control over it. You may also leave behind a number of worldly accomplishments, things that you've done very well. Maybe you had a very successful career. Maybe you've done something that really has to do with helping your fellow man, as you know, something in the medical field or in education, where maybe you didn't make a lot of money, but you helped a lot of people in this life, and all of that is great. It means something to accomplish things in this life. A lot of people in the Bible accomplished great things in their lives. I'm going to just mention one. He's an interesting character to me. He's King Hezekiah. He reigned about 700 BC in Judah as king, and was a very successful and good king. As we come to the end of his life in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 20, it says, "Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah, all his might, and how he made a pool and a tunnel and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Hezekiah rested with his fathers, and Manasseh his son reigned in his stead." There are two things I want to notice about this. First of all, as I said, Hezekiah was a very successful king, very wise king. And among other things that he did, he made this amazing tunnel from outside the walls of Jerusalem to bring water into Jerusalem, say during a time when Jerusalem might be sieged by a foreign invading army. They could still have a water supply. Hezekiah very wisely did that. That tunnel is still there today. I got to walk through it a couple of years ago. It's about 1,600 feet long. It's an amazing feat of engineering. And here Hezekiah has left this accomplishment, this great accomplishment of his life. And, you know, it's not really in use anymore, but it's still there to admire. Most of us won't do anything like that. Most of us won't leave something that's still being remembered 2,700 years later. But it doesn't matter if we do. You know, what good is that to us, right? It may benefit somebody else. The other thing you notice in this description of Hezekiah's passing is that he rested with his fathers and Manasseh, his son, reigned in his place. And Manasseh, as good as Hezekiah was, that's how bad Manasseh was. And you don't have any control of that. You don't have any control of that. And the Bible details the sins of Manasseh in quite a bit of very descriptive language. We can leave behind worldly accomplishments, but are they going to last? We can leave behind memories, good memories in the minds of loved ones that we've made. The Bible says in Proverbs 10 and verse 7, the memory of the righteous is blessed. I tell you, I preach a lot of funerals. I don't know how many, I haven't kept count, but in my preaching life, I've preached a lot of funerals. And the last thing at a funeral that most people are concerned about is how much wealth, you know, has been left to them. But a lot of them talk about the memories that have been made with their loved one who passed on. And they can be such a comfort. The memories that have been left behind in the minds of loved ones are valuable. The Bible says again, the memory of the righteous is blessed, but the name of the wicked will rot. But you can leave behind even greater things than that if you're a spiritual person. As we said, your wealth, it may do some good, may not. If you leave some good memories of good relationships and good things that you've experienced with others, that's great. But your example of faith, if you're a person of Christ, if you're walking the way that leads to life, if you can leave that behind, you've really left something valuable behind. The Bible says in Proverbs 20 and verse 7 that the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. And so again, you know, when I preach funerals and attend funerals, the people who have the most comfort are the people whose loved one who's passed has lived a godly life, who's honored God with their life. And that person has a hope of heaven. That person has influenced so many other people for good and helped them do right. And that leaves such an amazing legacy for all who are left behind. And it's a legacy of comfort. You're going to die one day. I'm going to die one day. We have to face that. That's what we're saying this morning. What are we going to leave behind? Our example, our faithfulness, our relationship with God may speak for generations yet to come. I think about in my personal life, how much I gained from my grandparents, for instance, my parents, how much I gained from them spiritually speaking, because they chose to live a life of example. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, the Bible says, "By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he being dead still speaks." That's what the Bible says, that if you live a faithful life, one of a great example, that you're going to die, but you can still speak. You can still speak to future generations. And that's the kind of legacy I believe that all of us who are thinking rightly about life and life to come would like to leave. So is that what you will leave? Will you leave examples of, you know, a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, a steadfast faith, priorities that were well ordered as you put God first in your life above everything else? Are you leaving behind an example of somebody who's prepared for eternity? That's such a blessing to leave behind, such a comfort to leave behind when again the loved one passes on and those who are left behind can think about, here's a person who's ready to go to heaven. Here's a person who's walked the way that leads to life. And then there's peace at the end, peace for you, peace for your family, peace for your loved ones. It's a great thing. It's a great thing to leave behind an example of true faithfulness to the God of heaven. When King David passed from this life, he left Solomon a lot, his son Solomon. He left Solomon a name, a wealth that surpassed really anything of that time period. He left Solomon a kingdom that was at peace. But I want you to listen to David as David prepares to die, knows that his death is coming soon, and he has a little talk with Solomon. It says in 1 Kings chapter 2 and verse 1, "The days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, 'I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, prove yourself a man, and keep the charge of the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn.'" You see what David's concerned about? David doesn't say much to him at all about, you know what, I'm going to make you the king of... He talks about that a little bit, but that's not the big thing. He doesn't say, look, you've got all this wealth, you have fame, and you're going to have more fame. He doesn't talk to him about that. He says, Solomon, what I want to leave you with is a desire to serve God. He says, I'm going the way of all the earth. As we've said, that's the way we all go. We're all going to pass this away from this earth. He tells him to be strong, to prove himself a man, and to keep the charge of the Lord your God. In other words, do what God says. Keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, his testimonies. And if you do those things, you'll prosper in all that you do, wherever you turn. When we obey God, when we walk the way that leads to life, our life is as God intended for it to be, and it makes it a success. Everything may not always go smoothly, but a successful life is one that walks as God designed it to be. That's the way that we need to walk, this way that leads to life. David goes on and tells Solomon, you do these things, then the Lord will fulfill his word, which he spoke to me concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. And so David is concerned about what he's leaving behind. And he wants to see this conditional promise that God has made to him. He wants to see that fulfilled. God has said, if your sons will walk in my ways. Your descendants will always be the kings of Israel. And David surely wanted to see that happen. And so he's encouraging Solomon to do the right thing that this great promise might be fulfilled. You know, we're all going to leave something behind. We need to be trying to leave something behind that's valuable, that's worth leaving. There's a song sung by Sean Rowe. Maybe some of you have heard it and played on the radio some. And it's called Trying to Leave Something Behind. I'm going to read just a couple of lines of it to you. He says, we're running with the case, but we ain't got the gold. Yet we're trying to leave something behind. That line is fairly haunting to me as you think about so many people in this world. You know, they running with this case that they think is full of valuable stuff, but it doesn't have anything in it. It's completely empty. And yet somehow we're going to leave something behind. How is that going to work? That's not going to work, is it? We don't have anything to leave behind if that's the way it is with us. If what we have in our lives, if what we're carrying is completely empty, we're not going to have anything to leave behind. We need to have something of value that we're carrying with us. And it's got to be more than earthly wealth. It has to be more than just good memories. If we want to really leave something behind, what's in that case needs to be more valuable than gold, in fact. Another line in the song says, when my son is a man, he will know what I meant. I was just trying to leave something behind. We should try to leave something behind, something that's valuable, something that will reach into eternity. If you want to leave something behind, what Jesus would tell you is that you need to send something ahead. It's an amazing way that he puts it in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. He says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When our heart is focused on heavenly things, when heaven is all to us and we are trying to live a heavenly life on earth, we have something in our case. We have something we're carrying with us. We have a legacy that we can leave behind to our children and our grandchildren. The steps of a righteous man are steps that lead to life. And he has something that he can leave behind to his children, to his loved ones, a hope of heaven, a view of what life is all about, a direction to go, heaven itself. Jesus tells us, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. They're not going to last. And you're going to have to leave them behind. They may not do anybody any good. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Put your heart in heaven. Well, we've been talking this morning about some very serious things. I know, as I said when we started out this morning, most of us don't even like to think about death, but we need to. Solomon also said in the book of Ecclesiastes that it's better to go to the house of mourning than to the house of feasting, because that is the end of all men, and the living will take it to heart. It's important for us to go to the funeral home, to realize as we see our loved one or a friend who has passed on, to realize that we're going that way as well. That is the end of all men. And the living need to take that to heart. We need to think about it. We need to ponder it. We need to prepare for it. I hope we've said some things this morning that will really help you do that. I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth and died a horrible death purposely so that your sins could be forgiven, so that you could live a worthwhile life, and so that you could leave something valuable behind and take something with you when you go, so to speak, and that is your soul into eternity itself. So that's what we've been talking about today, and we thank you so much for tuning in. I want to tell you a little bit about the Eastside Church of Christ. We meet, as I said earlier, at 110 French Way. We're a group of Christians just striving to serve the Lord, striving together to walk this way that leads to life and get to heaven in the end and leave something valuable behind when we leave this earth. We invite you to be with us this morning. The announcer will tell you the times of services and all as we sign off here in a moment. But we'd love for you to come and worship God with us at Eastside this morning. Until next week, continue to walk the way that leads to life.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Come visit us this morning at 9 o'clock or this evening at 5 o'clock as we assemble for worship. Also, join us for Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. For free audio or video of the Bible lessons taught at Eastside or to learn more about us, log on to eastside-church.org. That's eastside-church.org. And tune in again next week to The Way That Leads to Life.